Is that okay? All right. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I repeat. Okay. We have reached, concerning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their meanings, we have reached the 100th name, which is Al-Jawad. And Al-Jawad is the one who grants generously. The one who grants generously. And okay. And the 101st name is Al-Majid. Al-Majid, the one who is glorious in his nobility and bountiful generosity. In the hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi from Abi Dharr, which is a hadith al-Qudsi. Al-Hadith al-Qudsi, what does it really mean? Literally, it is the sacred hadith. And it's defined as the, quote, narrated revelation, end of quote, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who in turn narrates from Allah Azza wa Jal, the Most Mighty and Majestic, who spoke it first. Who spoke it first. And it is not like the Quran, the recited revelation. It is not like the Quran, which is the recited revelation, which directly relates to Allah, which directly relates to Allah, and to Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in reporting al-hadith al-Qudsi, the isnad, the chain of narration, is either A, the Prophet relates from his Lord saying such and such. And there are many differences between al-hadith al-Qudsi and al-hadith al-Nabawi, the prophetic, and the Qur'an. Some of these differences are, number one, unlike the Qur'an, it is not a condition that the revelation of al-hadith al-Qudsi is by the way of Jibreel alayhi salam. And it could be by his way, and it could occur by means of inspiration or other ways of revelation. This is the first major difference. The second difference, the transmission of the noble Quran is entirely mutawatir, and this is a rank of hadith, which is the highest rank of hadith. Mutawatir, which is reported by a large number of people, that they cannot be expected to agree upon a lie, all of them together. Whereas many of the Qudsi hadiths are reported by the way of ahad, in which the number of narrators don't reach that of the mutawatir. Thirdly, Al-Quran is not open to any mistake, whereas mistakes may occur in the transmission of the Qudsi hadith through one of the narrators. In fact, al-hadith al-Qudsi may be weak due to the weakness of one or more of its narrators. Consequently, anyone who denies the Quran or any of its verses becomes a kafir, becomes a disbeliever. However, the one who denies a Qudsi hadith because of a weakness in its narration does not commit kufr, does not become a kafir. Fourthly, Al-Qur'an is recited in Salah, in the prayers. Neither Al-Qudsi nor Al-Nabawi prophetic hadiths are allowed to be recited in the prayers. And fifthly, in reciting each letter of the Qur'an, the Muslim receives 10 rewards. And there is no similar reward upon reading the text of the hadith Qudsi or Nabawi or prophetic one. This does preclude the fact that there is a reward for those who read, understand, and work according to the authentic hadith. Sixthly, unlike the hadith, the Quran is divided into surah, chapters, ayah, verses, ahzab, set portions, and ajza, parts. Unlike al-hadith al-nabawi, unlike the prophetic hadith, the Qudsi hadith is related to Allah Most High. In addition, the text of the Qudsi hadith is mostly related to matters of reverential fear, al-khawf, hope and longing, raja, trust and reliance, tawakkul, etc. And little is mentioned about laws of salah, hajj, Siyam, Jihad, and so forth. These are very prominent differences between Al-Hadith Al-Qudsi and Al-Hadith Al-Nabawi, as well as the Quran. طيب. in that hadith, ذَلِكَ بِأَنِّي جَوَادٌ مَاجِدٌ أَفْعَلُ مَا أُرِيدٌ. And Tirmidhi said, hadith hasan, it's a good hadith. In the hadith al-Qudsi, which is reported by Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related that Allah said, quote, this is due to the fact that I am Jawad and Majid. Jawad meaning the one who grants generously, and Majid the one who is glorious in his nobility and bountiful generosity, able to do whatever I want. The 102nd hadith name is Al-Muhsin. 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 The one who constantly does that which is good and with perfection. Al-Muhsin, the one who constantly does that which is good and with perfection. روى ابن عدي عن سمرة بإسناد حسن عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله تعالى محسن فأحسنوا. Ibn Adi reported on the authority of Sumra through an authentic chain of transmission that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah Most High is Muhsin, meaning the one who constantly does that which is good and with perfection. So ahsinu, so do good by having your deeds sincerely devoted to Allah and in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what's meant by a good deed. Allah, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allah, blessed and most exalted, is Al-Muhsin, who showered all the creation, including the good and bad ones, with his ihsan, with his benevolence and favors. For he is the one who brought mankind from the state of Adam, of nothing, to that of existence, as necessitated by his great generosity. قال الله عز وجل هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. In 76:1, has there not been over man a period of time when he was nothing to be mentioned? Secondly, and he is the one who bestowed the beautiful shape upon Adam and his offspring. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. And also in the Quran in chapter 40, verse 64, has given you shape and made your shapes good looking. He guided man and distinguished him from the rest of creation. As in his saying, Inna hadaynahu السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا, as in 76:3, verily we showed him the way, whether he be grateful or ungrateful. And also وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, as in 90:10, and shown him, meaning man, the two ways, good and evil. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And also in 16:78, and has gave you hearing, sight and heart that you may give thanks. Fourthly, the greatest favor of Allah is his guidance to Islam by sending the books and messengers and by manifesting his signs. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. In 49:17, they regard as favor upon you, O Muhammad, that they have embraced Islam. Say, count not your Islam as a favor upon me. Nay, but Allah has conferred a favor upon you, that He has guided you to faith, if you indeed are true. Fifthly, Allah's ihsan, benevolence, by guiding those who submitted to Islam in its final and comprehensive form to be the followers of the best of the prophets and the best ummah and the best nation. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. You true believers in Islamic monotheism and real followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his authentic way are the best of peoples ever raised up for mankind. Sixthly, Allah's ihsan is manifested in the knowledge He bestows upon those who sincerely seek to understand the deen of Allah. يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. In 58, please ignore, okay? Please ignore. Allah will exalt in degree those of you who believe and those who have been granted knowledge. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. Say, are those who know equal to those who know not? As in 39:9. Allah's benevolence, ihsan, is in guiding the people of knowledge to work in accordance with the knowledge which He bestowed upon them. As in 35:28. إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. It is only those who have knowledge among His slaves who truly have awe of Allah. Eighthly, Allah's ihsan, benevolence, is in guiding the knowledgeable believers to propagate the knowledge of Allah and of His religion, of His deen. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in speech than he who says, my Lord is Allah, meaning believes in the Islamic monotheism in Tawheed, and then stands straight, acts upon Allah's order, and invites, alaykum salam, men to Tawheed, and invites men to the Tawheed of Allah, and does righteous deeds, and says, I am one of the Muslims. Ninthly, the ability to enjoin what is right, and to forbid the wrong in the good ways prescribed by Allah and by His Messenger. The good utilization of one's time and health. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. The good utilization of one's time and health. Having the righteous wife and good company. The love for the sunnah and the hate of the innovation, the bid'ah, are only some of the manifestations of Allah's ihsan, benevolence to His ibad, to His slave worshippers. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you would count the graces of Allah, never you'll be able to count them. And there are two types of ihsan. There are two types of ihsan, of benevolence. The first, the ihsan in worshipping Allah, which is the perfection of His worship. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in defining ihsan, he said, it is that you worship Allah as if you were seeing Him, and though you don't see Him, then He certainly sees you, as reported in Sahih Muslim. Now this worship is accompanied by yearning and seeking, longing and seeking, longing for the love of Allah, which causes one to seek Him alone. In this way, the believer directs his heart and turns to Allah as if he were seeing Him. Worship is utmost love of Allah, along with submission and humility to Him, Azza wa Jal. Love causes one to desire and seek, and humility causes one to fear and flee. Love causes one to desire and seek, and humility causes one to fear and flee. Second type of ihsan, of benevolence, is that to the creation, by striving to do all kinds of good deeds to the slaves of Allah, and to repel what is harmful to them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah has decreed that everything should be done in a good way. And in another narration, Allah, Most Mighty and Majestic, is muhsin, and He loves ihsan. Is muhsin and he loves ihsan. Al-muhsin, as explained earlier, the one who showered all the creation, including the good and bad ones, with his benevolence and favors. This is the meaning of muhsin. So here in the other narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah, Most Mighty and Majestic, is muhsin and loves benevolence, ihsan. So when you kill, kill in a good way. Meaning, the method used in inflicting the death penalty in Islam is to be swift, inflicting the least possible pain. So when you kill, kill in a good way. And when you slaughter, slaughter in a good way. For one of you should sharpen his knife and give the animal as little pain as possible, sharpening the knife, swiftly cutting the animal's throat, and other measures like sharpening the knife and then slaughtering away from slaughtering away from the sight of other animals, and easily driving the animal to its slaughter place, are from the ihsan, from goodness, which Allah loves. And this hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to reward both kinds of muhsineen, those of the two types, those who perfect their worship and those who do good to others. لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for the best in that which they used to do. The 103rd name of Allah is Al-Witr, the one, which means the one, Al-Witr. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لله 99 اسما من حفظها دخل الجنة وإن الله وتر يحب الوتر. Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah has 99 names, and we explained the issue of numeration earlier. Allah has 99 names. He who commits them to memory, meaning believing in their meaning and acting accordingly, will enter paradise. And he, Allah, is witr, meaning one, and loves al-witr. In another narration, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who makes ihsa of them, meaning enumerates them, will enter paradise. And we explained all this earlier, the enumeration and so forth. Now, Allah is witr, meaning the one. He who has no equal in his essence, names, attributes and actions. He is unequaled and has no associate. He is the one as-samad. He begets not, nor was he begotten, and there is no co-equal or comparable unto him. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّ. Do you know of any who is similar to him? Certainly none is similar or co-equal or comparable to him. He has no partner with him. There is nothing like unto him. And he is the all-hearer, all-seer, who ascended the arsh, the throne, above the seven heavens, all aware and all acquainted with everything. He is Allah, most blessed and most majestic, the one free from all want. Allah loves al-witr, means that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loves everything odd, O-D-D, in number, which he has ordained. Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah explained this. He also said, another angle to this is that what is intended by al-witr is at-tawheed, oneness and uniqueness. Accordingly, it means that Allah in His self, in His essence, in His that, perfect attributes and actions, is one and unique, and He loves oneness. That is, He loves to be singled out as the one and only true God, and as the one who exclusively deserves to be worshipped. The 104th name, Al-Jamil, Al-Jamil, the one who is most perfect in his beauty. All these names that we're talking about, all of these came in the authentic Sunnah. From the way of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. He who has in his heart the way of a mustard seed of pride, meaning false pride, shall not enter paradise. قال رجل إن الرجل يحب أن يكون ثوبه حسنا ونعله حسنا حسنا. قال إن الله جميل يحب الجمال الكبر بطر الحق وغمط الناس. So a person amongst his hearers said, well, verily a person loves to have his dress to be fine, and his shoes should be fine. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remarked, verily Allah is Jameel. He loves Jamal, he loves beauty, much goodness in person, actions, behavior, moral character. Pride, now then he defined what is this blameworthy pride. He said, pride is disdaining the truth out of self-conceit and contempt for the people. And this hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, quote, "One of the dearest kinds of knowledge is knowing Allah by His magnificent beauty. This is the knowledge of the special of mankind. They know of Him by one of His attributes. The most perfect in his knowledge is the one who knows of Allah in His perfection, magnificence and jamal and beauty. Far removed is he from all imperfection. Nothing is like unto him in all of his attributes. Suffice is his jamal, is his beauty, is that if he could uncover his hijab, his veil, the veil from his face, its subuhat, its brightness, splendor, majesty and greatness would burn his creation so far as his sight reaches." Of course, this is in this life, but in the hereafter, as you know, the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's face. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who will be granted this greatest honor and reward. It is enough that in his jamal, in his beauty, alaykum salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It is enough that in his jamal, in his beauty, all might, all power, all generosity, all benevolence, all knowledge and all favors belong to him. The light of the heavens and the earth is from the light of his face. The light of the heavens and the earth is from the light of his face. And we discussed this earlier as well, when we spoke about the attribute that Allah is the light, that the light is one of the attributes of Allah. The jamal, the beauty of Allah, is of four categories. The beauty of Allah is of four categories. Jamalu dhat, the beauty of Allah's essence. Jamalu sifat, the beauty of Allah's attributes. Jamalu al-af'al, the beauty of Allah's actions. Jamalu al-asma, the beauty of His names. And then all of His names are husna, most perfect. And all of His sifat, attributes, are of perfection, and all of his actions are characterized by wisdom, justice, mercy and goodness. As for the jamal, the beauty of Allah's essence and its state, then it is a matter comprehended only by him and known to none other than him. This beauty is well kept from others save him, veiled by the cover of الرداء and الإزار, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم related in the Hadith al-Qudsi. Now, the 105th name is Al-Muqaddim. Al-Muqaddim meaning the bringer forward. The bringer forward. Al-Muqaddim. Al-Muqaddim. The bringer forward. The 106th name is Al-Mu'akhir. The one who delays things. In the hadith narrated, the last of the two jamals, yes. Jamal al-af'al, the beauty of Allah's actions, and Jamal al-Asma, the beauty of His names. Now, in the hadith reported by Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to invoke Allah with the following invocation: رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي خَطِيئَتِي وَجَهْلِي وَإِسْرَافِي فِي أَمْرِي كُلَّهُ. O my Rabb, forgive me my faults and ignorance, and my exceeding my limits, that is my great sins, in all my deeds, and forgive whatever you know better than I. O Allah, Allahumma ighfir li khataaya wa 'amdi wa jahli wa jiddi. O Allah, forgive the wrong I have done jokingly or seriously, and forgive my accidental and intentional errors, all that is present in me. O Allah, forgive my sins of the past and of the future, which I did openly or secretly. You are Al-Muqaddim, and al-mu'akhir, you are the one who is the bringer forward, the one who brings forward, and al-mu'akhir, the one who delays things, and you are the omnipotent. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari as well as in Sahih Muslim. Now, the 107th name is Ar-Rafiq, the gentle. Ar-Rafiq, the gentle. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ وَيُعْطِي عَلَيْهِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is gentle, likes gentleness, and gives for gentleness what He does not give for harshness. And this hadith is reported in Sahih Sunan Ibn Majah, which was checked by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, as well as in Sahih Al-Jami' number 1771. Now, the 105th and 106th and 107th names are as follows. Al-Musa'ar, the one who fixes prices. The one who fixes prices, Al-Musa'ar. And Al-Qabid, the Caesar, who withholds. Al-Qabid, the Caesar, who withholds. Al-Basit, the expander, who gives lavishly. Who gives lavishly. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, reported that the prices shot up, meaning went up, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They, the people, said, O Allah's Messenger, prices have shot up, so fix prices for us. Thereupon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is the one who fixes prices, who withholds, gives lavishly, and provides. And I hope that when I meet my Lord Allah, none of you will have any claim on me for an injustice regarding blood or property. And this is reported in Sahih al-Jami' and Hadith number 1846. And the Hadith indicates that under normal circumstances, it is prohibited for the ruler to fix the market prices. It is allowed, however, under unusual conditions, when, for example, A. merchants raise food commodities to excessive limits. B. people are in need for a specific commodity. C. merchants monopolize the commercial articles. D. selling certain commodities is assigned to certain merchants. And E. merchants conspire and plot to raise the prices in order to make extra profits. Or F. it becomes certain that the welfare of the society demands fixing certain prices. Under these circumstances, then the ruler may set to fix the market prices. Under normal circumstances, it is not to be the case. The 111th name, As-Sayyid, the Master. As-Sayyid, the Master. Mutarrif bin Abdullah bin Shakhir an Abi reported, quote, I went with a deputation of Bani Amr to Allah's Messenger. Faqulna, and we said, you are our Sayyid, you are our Master. To this he replied, the Sayyid is Allah, As-Sayyidullah. We said, وَأَفْضَلُنَا فَضْلًا وَأَعْظَمُنَا طَوْلًا. You are the one of us most endowed with excellence and superiority. He said, فَقَالَ قُولُوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوْ بَعْضَ قَوْلِكُمْ وَلَا يَسْتَجِرَّنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. He said, say what you have to say, or part of what you have to say, but not let the devil make you his agents. And this hadith is reported by Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah said it is authentic. The 112th name, the 112th name, Ad-Dayyan, Ad-Dayyan, the one who judges people according to their deeds after calling them to account. Ad-Dayyan, the one who judges people according to their deeds after calling them to account. From Abdullah bin Unais, he said, سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, narrated Abdullah bin Unais, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, يحشر الله العباد فيناديهم بصوت. Please give attention to the following word, بصوت. يحشر الله العباد فيناديهم بصوت يسمعه من بعد كما يسمعه من بعد كما يسمعه من قرب. أنا الملك أنا الديان. He said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Allah will gather the people and call them with a voice, with a voice, let's write this down inshallah, voice, which will be heard by those who will be far away and those who will be near, by saying, I am the king, I am Ad-Dayyan, meaning I am the one who judges people according to their deeds after calling them to account. This is the meaning of Ad-Dayyan. Now, concerning, one more time in Arabic, yes, عن عبد الله بن أنيس قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يحشر الله العباد فيناديهم بصوت يسمعه من بعد كما يسمعه من قرب. أنا الملك أنا الديان. Now here in the hadith we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call them with a voice, with a voice. You're almost welcome. This and other ahadith as well affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with a voice that is heard and which befits His majesty. It is unlike the voices of His creation. Allah speaks with a voice that is heard and which befits His majesty. It is unlike the voices of His creation, because there is nothing like unto Allah in His names, attributes and actions. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, quote, and verily Allah, most mighty and majestic, calls with a voice which can be heard by those who are close and those far away, and this belongs to none besides Allah, majestic in His remembrance. He then related the hadith of Abdullah bin Unais, which is that you heard. Now Allah is qualified with the attribute of speaking, na'am, and He speaks with a voice, that's true. He then related the hadith of Abdullah bin Unais, which you just heard, as evidence that the voice of Allah does not resemble the voices of creation, because the voice of Allah, majestic is His remembrance, can be heard from closeness and from far away as well. And Al-Kalam, the speech of Allah, is one of Allah's attributes. He always speaks if He wills, whenever He wants and as He wants. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ أَنْ يَقُولَ أَنْ يَقُولَ, as in Yasin 37:82. Verily His command when He intends a thing is only that He says, that He says, and His saying is with a voice, it to be and it is. Now, it should be reminded now that most of these names that you heard so far, which come to 112, are agreed upon by Ahlul Ilm, by the scholars of Islam. Some scholars, however, consider that some of the texts contain akhbar, meaning related information, but not names, Like Al-Musa'ir, the one who fixes the prices. Like Al-Nazif, the clean. like a Sayyid, the Lord Master. And there could be more names that may be found in the Sunnah texts, and more effort is needed to verify this matter. And as to the name Al-Nadhif, the one who is clean, the one who is clean, this came in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Salih bin Abi Hassan said, quote, I heard Sa'id bin al-Musayyib saying, Allah is tayyib, is good, and he loves goodness. He is nadhif, the one who is clean, and loves cleanness. He is kareem, the one who is bountiful and gracious, and loves graciousness. He is jawad, the one who grants generosity, and loves generosity. So, clean your courtyards, and don't assume the manners of the Jews. This narration is weak, as at-Tirmidhi reported, because of the weak status of one of the narrators. However, as Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah reported other supporting narrations, including that of Amir bin Sa'd, in which the listener in the above hadith said, quote, I mentioned the above text to Muhajir bin Mismar, who said that Amir bin Sa'd narrated the same text from his father, from the Prophet. In it, however, he said, clean your courtyards, period. This brings the end to this great subject related to the meanings of Allah's names and attributes, and the bases that I focused my reference on are three references. Number one, Al-Asma wa Sifat, the basic rulings regarding Al-Asma wa Sifat, as illustrated in one beautiful book by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen. And the second is Al-Asma' wa Sifat, names and attributes, by Shaykh Umar Sulaiman al-Ashqar. And the third is explanation of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Sa'di, who is the Shaykh of Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen. And also explanation of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as by Al-Sheikh Al-Qahtani, Sa'id bin Wahf Al-Qahtani, and also by Al-Sheikh Al-Najdi rahimahullah, explaining the names explaining the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as well as other references. But the first three were the basic ones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask him to accept this effort, this humble effort, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist me to complete it inshallah in the final edited form, so that we can present it on the internet, on the site which is, you can see up there, Understand Islam, so that people inshallah can benefit from it directly. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, wa barakallahu feekum. Tayyib, I repeat, first of all, beauty of his essence, beauty of his essence. Secondly, meaning beauty of his self, the beauty of the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, himself. Secondly, the beauty of his attributes. Thirdly, the beauty of his names. Fourthly, the beauty of his actions. Jamal al-Dhat, Jamal al-Sifat, Jamal al-Asma, Jamal al-Af'al, in Arabic.